Give yourself some love with our self-care programs at hrnradio.com.
Welcome to Kindred Spirits Show on HealthyLife.net. I am Lynn Andrews, and my show is on the fourth Tuesday of every month at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. As a shaman, author, teacher, and lecturer, I have a special vision of the people that I invite to join us. I see the beauty and accomplishments of my guests in a sacred way. They are creators of wisdom and knowledge and share their experiences with the world community. We appreciate their work and celebrate their value to all of us. And I am so excited today because we have on the show Stephen Halperin, who is an internationally acclaimed recording artist, composer, author, media spokesman, researcher, and pioneering sound healer, which you certainly are, Stephen. We've known each other a very, very long time, and you are currently writing a memoir, I understand,
yes,
with insights on co-creating magic in the recording studio. And welcome, Stephen, to the show.
Thank you, Lynn. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, it's marvelous. And golly, Stephen Halperin was first to identify the hidden stressful factor, scalus interruptus syndrome, inherent in most music, and to provide an effective alternative with his recordings. Stephen, can you talk about that, since everybody seems to be under extra stress these days?
Absolutely, and I'd like to just begin by offering just a little bit of background, and that is that I began my musical journey in this lifetime, being attracted to music even as a kid. My parents played no music in the house, and I used to crawl down the hallway of the apartment building we lived in because a neighbor had music playing in their apartment. So without knowing anything, I was just, my soul was always thirsting for it. I came up first playing trumpet and very quickly got turned on to jazz improvisation. So I was the man with the horn. I was my through high school, I was a good trumpet player. In college, I met in a kind of a similar fashion to some of the way that you met your teachers. Right from the beginning, I fell in and was invited to join an inner circle, the Universe City at the University of Buffalo, with great jazz musicians, but major American poets who were working with the same aspect of tuning in and the work of an artist to connect with his or her muse. So that became my practice, my prayer, my vision quest, long before I turned on to playing the music that I'm known for now. That happened literally in a meditation in a sacred redwood grove when I was visiting California for what I thought was 2 weeks, a little break before I went back to graduate school, and I suddenly began to hear this beautiful celestial music in my meditation, in my mind's ear, and I also heard, for one of the very few times in my life, a voice saying, "This is the music that you've been praying to hear. Your job is to share it with the world." And I'm going, excuse me, I'm not even yet in graduate school. I'm a starving artist. How do you even, you know, I couldn't even relate to what that meant. I'm a trumpet player. And the new music was definitely not on trumpet. But within a matter of moments, I was guided to an upright grand piano. I don't have time to go into the whole story, but I started playing the music in trance. I was in the wrong building to audition for this job that I was mistaken for, a job application at a sister organization of the great Esalen Institute, and within a matter of moments was hired, and because I was at that place, I could not have been better placed to meet the leaders of the Human Potential Movement, who then would hear my music and said, yes, very nice, but if you want to be taken seriously, you need to do research. And I said, but I just quit my graduate fellowship back in Buffalo. You're not going to catch me back in school. And then the next week, Dr. Stanley Krippner came by and says, yes, but we have biofeedback equipment, and if you enter our program, you can use it for free. So that was the beginning of my huge shift. And one of the things that I've always done is to follow my own body. And when my body would feel stress, picking up, before we knew the word empath, and before I knew that I was so sensitive to others' vibrations, people would just say that I was weird, and then it was eccentric. But I also noticed that when I listened to a lot of classical music that was supposed to be healing, I felt more stressed. And am I the only one? Well, no. But there was very little research on it, and there was so much of a belief system that classical music was the best music for relaxation or super learning or healing. So I started doing some research, and one of the things we found was what I named the scaleless interruptus experience, or the effect. Let me demonstrate, because as you say, the sound is going to be worth 1,000 words. I'm going to sing a little very familiar pattern. Watch what happens in your body, in your chest, in your heart, and in your mental faculties, where your mind goes as I sing, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. And how many of you are holding your breath right now? How many of you heard that last note in your head and waiting for that second musical shoe to drop, the completion of the phrase? Well, we're culturally conditioned to anticipate of where the music is going. Subconsciously, you don't even have to be a musician. We're exposed to that. So this, in essence, keeps us out of the present moment. Before we had the concept of mindfulness, I was saying, when we listen to most music, we're always projecting into the future. That is one of the great beauties of classical music, but it's exactly why classical music is not the best choice when you're looking, in most cases, for relaxation and certainly for healing, because relaxation only happens in the present moment, and relaxation is the state, as scientists started finding out, in which our bodies mobilize our own innate healing energies most effectively. And before I go any further, let me just mention, this is one ancient tradition. There is another tradition that uses the hypnotic, trance-inducing effects of rhythm, of drum, and I know that you're familiar with that, Lynn. That's another aspect of healing, but I could only focus on one. When I started doing both, it confused my audiences, it confused the media, and says, well, you've got to choose one. There's a lot of people that work with rhythm. You're the only one that has developed a kind of music that does not have a central pulse. And in fact, if we have a moment, we could just put on a little bit of my album called Deep Theta, and you could hear the sound, the tone, and how the music is so much in the moment, it doesn't have to go anywhere. I used to get criticized. Your music doesn't go anywhere. I said, yes, it's already there. And it'll take the listener there. So if we could cue up the first piece of music, Deep Theta.
Stephen Halperin, and kindly, Stephen, you are playing a kind of music that you feel is different from another aspect of what you compose. Can you just tell us the difference between the two so my listeners understand?
Okay, well, anytime, yes, and this brings up a major concept that is called entrainment. When we listen to any music, or in fact, with even mechanical sounds, our heartbeat is very easily manipulated, and we say that an external rhythm exerts a plagiaristic effect upon our nervous system. In other words, if you have a drum beat...
I love that. Plagiaristic. That's super. Go ahead.
And it's true. But no one was calling it that before I did. And again, you know, you and I go back, you know, many years before I was really out in the public. I was just in the beginning of my career when we met at the event. There was an outdoor expo in Santa Barbara, as I recall. And this was just in the early days of New Age conferences. And there were no musicians who was speaking about the healing powers of music. Well, I was already studying this back in college. There were no classes in it, so I would dig around through old libraries and bookstores and find all the books that talked about it, that traced back to ancient Greece, ancient Egypt, etc. But no one was doing anything recently, and no one was interested in exploring the physiological and beyond metaphorical effects of the healing powers of music. So in entrainment, an external rhythm, whether I'm snapping my fingers, clapping my hands, or it's a drum beat or the pulse of music, your heartbeat will match the rhythm of this external rhythm. So when we listen to most music, if it's faster music, your heartbeat will beat faster. And if you try to relax when you're listening to fast music, it's like drinking coffee, a couple cups of coffee at 9 o'clock at night and trying to go to sleep. It's like driving with your foot on the gas pedal and the brake pedal. It's not an effective use of energy. It's using the wrong drugs, if you talk about caffeine, for the desired effect, going to sleep. Being a type A individual from New York, now we call us adult ADHD, you know, along the spectrum, I noticed that I needed, in fact, it was the first time I went to a holistic doctor. I did got the stress test, and he comes back and gives me this weird look and said, excuse me, we got to run these tests again. They ran them again. He says, some of your stress levels are off the chart. And I go, what do you mean? I feel fine. He says, well, you may be used to that, and that may be normal for you, but you're not normal. So
and we all knew that, Stephen.
Right. And that was a shock. He said, my suggestion, my prescription, is that you need to handle your stress. And that's when the research that I did in 1973 that showed the immediate relaxation effect of my own music was beyond just music for relaxation, but for healing and stress management, and it really opened up a whole field that allowed me to enter the field of holistic medicine as the first person to speak about the healing powers of music at these major international conferences and put that field on the map. And it was always, well, we've never heard of such a thing. And I would say, well, go back, you know, a couple thousand years. The most ancient of the healing arts was back in Greece and China and Egypt. And now we're updating it. We need a new kind of music. But if it has all the same cues that regular music has, it's not going to be as effective in general. And by the way, I'm not saying that classical music has no use. Good classical music is great. But even within classical music, if you look at Pachelbel's Canon or Mozart's Sonata, there's 5 or 10 different varieties and versions of each classical composition. There's no copyright on it, and they could be so, so different from each other. I used to have a list of Pachelbel's Canon, Pachelbel's Canon, highly caffeinated version, and they're totally different pieces of music, depending on who's playing it. So, you know, when the media would say, would you say that Mozart is relaxing? I'd say, no, Mozart said his music wasn't relaxing. The emperor said, your music isn't relaxing, too many notes. And I said, yes, let's get into the space between the notes, in the gap between thoughts. The same thing that Deepak Chopra was talking about, or Wayne Dyer was talking about. I was coming from...
Steve, and I've been talking about that for 20 years.
Oh, bless your heart.
Shamanism is very important. In that, I have to interrupt you for that because of the rhythms and so forth that shamanism uses in ceremony. It's like the shamans knew that but didn't have a way really to describe it. They would just show it to you, kind of like you're doing right now.
Exactly, exactly. And you would do it. I remember one of my first private ceremonies. I was there trying to count the rhythm patterns and doing my left brain analysis, and I wasn't told, hey, shut up, put the pad down, just go with the flow, but I did, and suddenly when the sound started and the sound of the rattle, which I was going, okay, so they're doing a 4-4 rhythm and they're doing it at this many beats per minute, and when I gave up the left brain analysis, suddenly the sounds of the rattles started spinning around my head. And I go, oh, my gosh, there's a whole bunch of other things that doesn't happen when you read little black notes on black on white paper written by dead white European musicians. So, and I thought that's what I was going to be studying in college, cross-cultural expressions of trance induction and healing through music around the world. But my path opened up in a different area by coming from the same well of healing powers of music.
Well, you've provided a huge gift for all of us. And it's very interesting to me to see how people who want to find a way to relax, to heal themselves, forget about the fact that we're all energy.
Yes.
And that music, as you so beautifully describe and show, is spiritually inspired so often and has such a unique effectiveness on reducing stress and tuning into chakras. And people don't take use of that enough. I don't know why.
Well, I could, I'll give you a couple of reasons why.
Okay.
Number one, it empowers individuals. Number two, it's not controlled by the by Big Pharma, by the pharmaceutical industry. Most doctors have no training in this, and in fact, they've been trained that if we didn't get educated about this, it's fake, it doesn't work. So there's a huge bias against using music. Me, I was always looking for something that was inexpensive, legal, non-addictive, non-fattening, and something that I could do at home. And I'm going, wait a minute, you know, I'm a musician. Let's, you know, and there's this ancient tradition of healing with music. So I would pray and I would meditate, and then when I started having experiences, particularly in the recording studio, where the music would just flow through me, and I'd kind of get out of the way and I'd become the music, and that's when I understood that I was not doing this whole process by myself. I was getting assistance. I was working with teachers who were not in the physical body. Sometimes in the recording studio, the room would fill with light, and my recording engineer said, did you just see that? I go, yes. What just happened? And since he wasn't a meditator, I said, we're just going to call that a voltage surge. And that's how we dealt with it for the next 15 years. And so many of my albums, like Gifts of the Angels, and in fact the opening part of Deep Theta, every album included some magic moments where some of my teachers and my guides and I called it my band of angels, would come through and assist. And there was sometimes, even during the sound check, when I just plug in my keyboard and I trained my engineer, whenever I start playing, put the machines in record, because you never know what may come through. And the beginning and several songs came through as a sound check. And I got to tell you, that's a very cost-effective way of recording to get a whole song done in the first, you know, without even, you know, overdubs. It comes through perfectly, and that's been part of the magic that I've been able to work with throughout my career.
Yeah, that's incredible, absolutely incredible. let's talk, Stephen, about where you think we're going now with music, with sound. We'll be back after station identification.
Like what you hear? Tell your friends. Thanks for listening to HRNradio.com.
Stephen, you talk a lot about music and how it affects us physically. So many people today, I have noticed, when I am working in different parts of the world until this pandemic, had issues with their heart. And, you know, if in some ways the heart has its own mind, its own intelligence, and it relays that information to the brain and the brain to the heart, at least that's how I've seen it.
Yeah.
And with something like your magnificent music, you know, so many beautiful pathways are created and things that really heal the heart. Can you talk about heart math and these different ways of healing that you were talking about a minute ago at the break?
Sure. One of the things that I was brought into alignment with and connected with through that early research in 1973, where I used brainwave biofeedback, galvanic skin response, connecting with Cleve Baxter, who did the great research mentioned in the Secret Life of Plants, was curling photography. But also we had a direct connection. One of my mentors was Itzhak Bentov, who wrote the book Stalking the Wild Pendulum. And he really brought in the whole concept of entrainment and how when you give the body a choice, most people's bodies will choose balance and harmony. And when you get into a deeply relaxed state, whether you're doing trance drumming, whether you're doing yoga, meditation, there's so many different ways to get there. Also listen to relaxing music, that your heartbeat regularizes and sends out a spurt of blood up into the brain that changes from the normal random way that we are pumping blood throughout our body. That sets up a standing wave between the heart and the brain that then pulses the brain in a characteristic pattern that sets up a deep alpha response in the 8-cycle-per-second range that also sets up an associated electromagnetic field around the head, which interfaces with the basic electromagnetic field of the Earth itself, which is known as a Schumann resonance. All shamanic traditions know about this and tap into that. And when you get into that state, your body knows what to do if you get a chance. And our bodies want to get into balance. All systems in the body work better when you get into that relaxed state and allow for the heart-brain connection to really manifest. Your breathing slows down. Your energy flow becomes more efficient, and that allows innate healing processes to happen on their own. But also, according to the research of the breakthrough research of Bruce Lipton, and now popularized also by Deepak Chopra in his book Super Genes, you can instruct your body, you can instruct your genes, you can instruct your DNA to express for optimal health. Now, this is a concept beyond subliminal affirmations. You're doing this yourself, but you're taking responsibility for your own health and healing. What a concept. But the AMA, the FDA, they can't control it. Now, about the time that we first met, in 1978, I was also starting my national tours. I was in Florida when Representative Claude Pepper was trying to outlaw and make illegal vitamin supplements, herbs, color therapy, music
what?
Therapy, and guided visualization. And I said, excuse
no.
me, wait. if I close my eyes and I'm listening to music as we did in the 60s,
yeah.
I could get arrested? No, officer. I was just listening to music and concentrating. But this is where I think the future can be. When people understand how powerful healing happens when you have the right kind of music that puts the power back to the people. And they can make their own choice. But what do we have in the world of music? We have entertainment. We are distracted away from our own innate healing abilities. In fact, when my album called Deep Alpha got a Grammy nomination in 2012, I got a call from Billboard and the Grammy saying, do you know you have a spelling error on the front of your album? And I go, no, it's spelled right. It's called Brainwave Entrainment Music. They said, well, you spelled entertainment wrong. And I go, no, it's a different word. They had no idea what entrainment meant, but yet all musicians know. It's why so many songs start off with the drum beat. Dum-dum-ba, dum-dum-ba. That immediately hooks your heartbeat into a certain pattern. In fact, if we listen to a good pattern, I have a little sample from my album from 1991. The album's called Higher Ground. This might be a good place to just play just a little bit of that intro. So why don't we do that? On the album do not have the drum beat, but I wanted to include that because when we drop out the drum beat, you float even easier without the grounding of the drum beat. I played the drum, and I remember getting into a deep meditative state, so it wasn't a completely accurate metronome, but the shamanic drumming always has micro motion variations and micro rhythmic variations. The important thing is that the repetitive rhythm gets you into that zone, and then when the drum fades away, you just float off. And the rest of the album, this is one of the albums that came through. It began during the sound check, and then for the next half hour, I just continued to play, and I got half an album done in a half hour, which is basically impossible. And my engineer says, you just got a half album done. No one ever does that. I did it, because that's what happened. It was a new instrument, and the sound just put me into that zone where the music is, and then I just played what I heard and just allowed the music to flow through. By the way, this is the album, Higher Ground, that Dr. Brian Weiss, when I met him and gave him a copy of the album, began to use it and has used it for thousands and thousands of past life regressions and experiences and meditations in his workshops around the world, and he said, it feels like you composed that album just for me. Well, I didn't, but it comes from a deep place, and it's absolutely perfect for going into meditations of any kind, but also to go into past life meditations. And
what is the name of it, Stephen?
The album is Higher Ground. That first song was called PowerPoint, and then the rest, I think, are basically Higher Ground Part 1, Higher Ground Part 2. Sometimes mm-hmm. the titles are less important than just going into the zone. But it's one of those albums that you do not want to drive with. You want to be safe at home in your room.
Close your eyes and take a deep breath.
Exactly.
No, not a good idea.
Exactly. And that's what I do in the studio, you know. We turn off the lights. In the early days, the engineers at the studio said, who is this guy? He turns off the lights. He lights a candle. How does he even see? And then he says, yeah, but he finishes his albums, you know, so quickly, and he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. So whatever he's doing, it must be right for him. And that was the beginning of my studio reputation as being now, back in the early days, you could do an album much quicker. Now these albums
Stephen,
take years.
Stephen, hold on just a moment. I hate to interrupt you. We'll be right back after station identification.
Environmentally sound for your mind. HRNradio.com.
I'm speaking with Stephen Halperin, and I would like to give you a quote. To a mind that is still, the whole universe surrenders. End of statement. But to me, that is a beautiful lead-in to what we were just talking about, Stephen, about listening.
Yes.
And how you almost have to be trained these days to listen, to open your heart and your mind to something that is perhaps new or something that is just pleasant even.
Right, right. And in fact, what you just said, Lynn, we've been trained to listen exactly the opposite. We get trained to follow the patterns of a melody. And if you look at a lot of the articles and books that have been written about the healing powers of music, they always talk about melody. Well, yes, some melodies can be, you know, healing, and that's all well and good. But that's usually when you get into melody with words. And yes, there's some classical, some great melodies that are great, and that's why they're the classics and the great masterpieces of classical music. But when we listen, if you're focusing on the music, on the compositional structure, if you're following the melody and the rhythm and the chord patterns, you're basically what we call left brain dominant. You're in the analytical mode. You're working with only half your brain. I'm into using the whole brain. And it's in that context that you get deeper resonances of the soul and the connection between body, mind, and spirit. So one of the things that I was guilty of at certain points, and many people are, particularly nowadays, something that we learned back in the 60s when my friends and I would listen to a new piece of music. Oh, I just got the new Jimi Hendrix music, or I just got the new Paul Butterfield album, or the new Paul Horn album. We turn off the lights, and we would not multitask. We would just focus on the sound. And nowadays, most people are multitasking. They're walking and listening to music. They're watching videos and listening to music. They're doing lots of things and listening. Well, that keeps you out of the deeper dimensions of listening to the music to really get the full blessings and benefits of the music. So one of the things I recommend for those people who still have stereos, and you can point your feet, you lie on the floor, and you could do this obviously with headphones and Bluetooth, etc. But back when we had speakers, my line used to be, you point your feet towards the speakers, and the sound will actually come into your body through the bottoms of your feet. And I call that a different kind of soul music. But the music knows where to go and move through the body. That's S-O-L-E. And that really will resonate in the heart. Another very important aspect is when you accept, when you know that music can be providing such healing benefits, when you come to the music in that receptive mode, you can receive more of the healing, whether it's classical, New Age, or any other kind of music, and you focus totally on the music. And I'd like to suggest listening to the spaces between the notes. Be in the moment, in that mindful awareness of the present moment, rather than projecting where the music is going. And when you listen to familiar music, you always know what's going to happen. That always means that you're projecting into the future, and you can't relax in the future. You could only relax in the present moment. This might be a good moment to listen to track one of my album, Deep Alpha, that was recorded very much in the moment. The basic tracks I recorded in 1991, with sustained strings and other sounds, and then I added my Rhodes electric piano, and then had the honor and privilege of working with the great musician Paul McCandless to add the incredible melody that he does. So as you listen, just allow your heart to open. In fact, we say listen with your heart, listen with your soul, not your mind. So here we go.
Listeners are in blissful sleep.
Or a blissful zone. You know, and that was...
Yeah, right. Stephen, I want to ask you something.
Yeah.
I think that one of the aspects that is missing in our life today that is so key, so important to our understanding of the heart and the soul is the aspect of the abstract.
Yes.
And you mentioned listen to the spaces in between the notes. I talk a lot about writing, and to understand, get the sense or the feeling in between the words.
Mm.
So you're listening to two different languages, in a sense, in the same kind of translation. So that you become aware of the fact that what's missing today is our understanding of the abstract. What does that even mean? What does that mean to you, Stephen?
Putting the abstract into words. Well, that's mixing metaphors. But I think it's, for me, what comes up immediately is that when you don't fill all the spaces with your own mental chatter, you allow room for spirit to come through, and we could hear this subtle small voice, the still small voice, to be heard and to be manifest. We fill up all our spaces now, and radio, most radio, not this show, but you know, regular radio and TV is always about filling up all the spaces, and people are doing that in their life. They come home from work. Back in the days when they'd come home from work, they'd immediately turn on the radio or the TV. We can't stand silence. For me, even as a kid, I was always yelling at my parents, "Could you please shut off the radio?" They had all news all the time, just talk, 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 talk. It's jamming my mental circuits. It was jamming my breathing. And they just said, you know, shut up, you're a kid. You know, we're listening to the radio. I got out of there, and in my home environment, I choose very consciously whether I'm listening to silence or specific music to keep me in the zone when I'm writing. So the abstract is where new ideas are allowed to come through. For me, if it was just my brain trying to invent and compose all the music that I've recorded over my lifetime of 100 albums, I never could have done that.
No.
It's in the silence, for me particularly, the silence of the recording studio, a professional recording studio which is soundproofed, it's an anechoic chamber, the closest and the best other place that I ever spent that experience was inside the King's Chamber in the Great Pyramid. It's so silent.
Oh, for heaven's sake. It's so interesting you mention that, because I felt the same thing.
Yes.
And whether it actually was an initiation chamber or not, it was initiating to me.
Yes.
Because of that abstract pressure, the indefinable. You didn't know what it was.
Absolutely.
And wasn't it fabulous? Oh,
absolutely. And by the way,
surely,
if your listeners are, it sounds like this might be the audience that would appreciate that. I recorded inside the pyramid. My album is called Initiation, and there's 10 minutes of silence we recorded with high-fidelity microphones that'll give the experience of meditating inside the Great Pyramid, King's Chamber, listen with headphones, and have a past-life experience.
How wonderful. Past life. I'm not sure.
Well, you'll have a deep experience.
I'm not sure. There were a lot of slaves in those days. And not everybody can be the pharaoh or Nefertiti.
Oh, right.
I'm totally joking you. I just, you mentioned the Great Pyramid, and oh my gosh, it just was so extraordinary. Shirley MacLaine told me one time that she spent the night, I believe, that's what she said,
King's
Chamber.
If anybody could have got permission to do it would have been her.
Yeah, that's right. And we did initiations in that sarcophagus the day that we were there.
Mm.
And they were very, very powerful.
Yes.
And it's like your music. There is harmony in the universe. It's all around us. We just never allow ourselves to hear it or to feel it. And
well,
in
exactly.
That chamber, you did.
Right. It's like we don't see the stars in daylight because the sun blocks them all out. We don't hear the abstract because there's so much noise around us, whether it's the leaf blowers outside my house right now or all the stuff we bring in ourselves. We're saying create more silence, create space for spirit to enter, create that abstract space, and good things will happen.
Oh, so well put. Absolutely, Stephen. We'll be right back after station identification.
HRNradio.com, where positive people and podcasts unite.
We are back with Stephen, and he has some extraordinary music that he is going to share with you.
Okay, so I'm going to introduce my number one all-time best-selling album, and the one that really put this field of sound healing on the map, because it gives you, it's called Chakra Suite. It originally came out called Spectrum Suite because in 1975 people didn't know what chakras were. So if we just listen to a few seconds, and as it happens, focus your attention at the base of your spine on the first chakra area. Since we're running out of time, I will begin just to explain a little bit what's happening.
That would be wonderful.
Great. So on this album, which was a concept that has been around for hundreds, if not thousands of years, many ancient spiritual traditions talk about the importance of tuning the chakras. What we learned is that the chakras respond to sound and color and to thought. So I read about this, and I'm going, why hasn't anybody put a soundtrack to this? And about that same time, through my research, I met Dr. J.J. Hertak, and I was in his first meditation group up near San Francisco and did my first performance where I privately, for that group, stimulated each of the chakras in ascending sequence with the tones that relate to that according to ancient spiritual traditions. So the first chakra is the keynote C, relates also to the color red. Second chakra is the keynote D, relates to orange. The keynote is D, the color is orange, second chakra, and so on up through the colors of the rainbow. This gave people a context within which to hear the non-melodic, non-rhythmic, according to some people, non-structured music, but it put it in a context that was also, when you went through the seven chakras, your chakras are balanced, you felt this wonderful meditation peace, and it was very healing to the body, and it allowed me, in dealing with the media, to, rather than just say, I'm going to play some beautiful music, here's the way that you listen to it, and we could measure, which we did scientifically, that when I play certain keynotes in my left hand, it resonates that part of the body, those chakras, and your chakras know what to do. And when you tune the first and second chakras, they send out little force fields and little subtle vibrations that hook up and connect and bioresonate with the third chakra and so on up. That then also balances both hemispheres of the brain and shifts that into a higher coherence. So many wonderful things happen. And people, even if they didn't do the meditation, if the music was just playing in the background, they had an experience of transcendence, of meditation, of peace and bliss. And they said, I don't know what's going on, but I like it. What else you got? And that's what got me back in the studio. And back when I thought I was just going to do one album and go back to being, you know, I wasn't sure what I was going to be doing. The universe said, no, your job is to make more albums, create more healing context, more healing resources. And that's where there's variety in all the albums, but the best, and also what's happening though, because nowadays people don't have time to listen to all the seven chakras, so they'll just listen to first chakra. Now, around that same time, the brilliant scientist Rupert Sheldrake was coming out with his theory and his books on morphic resonance, where when people do something, when there's a critical mass of consciousness that's reached, as there has been with the millions of people who have played and listened to at least track one, keynote C of Chakra Suite, there's a standing wave and a standing field of energy on our planet, so that when anyone else, even what we just played for a few seconds, tunes into that music, people's brain waves, if they're listening to that music, immediately shift into a high coherence pattern of 8 cycles per second that puts them in tune and in alignment with the dominant frequencies of the earth, the Schumann resonance, and it amplifies immensely the healing power of that piece of music, and most people don't recognize it. I experienced that because I don't listen to most streaming music platforms on a daily basis at home when I'm working. At my chiropractor's office, I was in the on the bed waiting for the treatment, and that piece of music came on, and I had such a powerful meditative experience, almost left my body. And then I got the download that said, here's what's happening. It doesn't happen with most music, because so many people have heard this music. It's always resonating or being played somewhere around the planet. And that was one of the very first things I was told by psychics in 1970 that my music would be healing and go around the world. And, of course, back then you said, how could that possibly happen? Well, now we know how it's happening, and it is happening. And I bet that the streaming music platforms have no idea that I call them stealthy sonic healing technology platforms. Because
Say that again.
Sonic sound technology, and sound is, for many of the ancient spiritual mystical traditions, a technology. It's also an art form, and my work in this world has been to combine those and to bring it out into the world.
It's so incredible, Stephen. You explain what you do in words that I think everyone can understand deeply, so that they can use what you have given so well. And I am so glad you're writing a memoir with insights on co-creating magic in your recording studio and your evolution as an artist, label president, media spokesperson. I thank you deeply for being on the show. It's wonderful to talk with you. You sound just wonderful and beautiful.
Well, thank you, Linda. It's been an honor and a pleasure being with you. And, you know, in the energy field that we set up together, people got a whole lot of what's going to be in my memoir in this 1 hour. So thank you for creating this context in which the words that come out of my mouth really get focused and do what you just said. And that's part of my mission, is to educate as well as to elevate.
Right. Well, beautifully put. You're great, and I'm great luck with your memoir. Stephen, how do we get a hold of you and your website and so forth?
Okay, tune in. My website, which is StephenHalpernMusic.com, and my YouTube channel, which is YouTube.com/StephenHalpernMusic, and you'll find all this and a lot more there.
Thank you so much.